hope you have your handouts this evening. We're going to walk through really how to grow spiritually. This is more of an introduction than it is an exhaustive study, as we'll take a couple weeks looking at this. But we're going to start out with an introduction this evening. So with that being said, why don't we open it with just a brief word of prayer as far as asking for the Lord's help, and then we will walk through this together. Gracious Lord, be our teacher this evening. Highlight and bring forth your words so that we might understand it the way you meant for us to know it. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. All right. As we walk through the study of the church, ecclesiology, we have been spending a great deal of time on the offices in the church, polity of the church, church discipline, and on it goes. We have talked about, like I said, the structure, the discipline of the church. What I would like to do here is spend some time talking about understanding a little bit more about the church itself. And by that, I mean you and I in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, and you guys have known this from the very beginning, we are the church. We are the bride of Christ. And I think understanding that a healthy church starts with individual growth in our lives is very important. My dad always told me as I was growing up, as people would clamor and pray for revival, and that is a good and needful thing. But he would always tell me in conjunction or with that, that revival doesn't just start in a group of people. It starts in an individual's heart, yielding their life to Christ. That's where revival begins. So tonight we're going to look at the church in its most intimate and simple form, and that's you and I in Jesus Christ. Upon salvation, we know from Scripture that we inherit new life in Jesus Christ. Okay, what is this new life? What are we supposed to do with this new life? Is it more than just hell insurance? And of course, the answer to that is yes. He forgives our sins, and His presence indwells us. It's a deposit for what is to come. It seals His Holy Spirit, seals us until the day of redemption, but does even more than that. And while we are completely saved, we are completely sealed upon that moment of placing our faith in Jesus Christ alone. This new life that we have does require personal responsibility to refine, to improve, not our salvation, but our reflection and walk with Jesus Christ. This new life in Christ has the capacity for growth. Obviously, since we can quench and grieve the Holy Spirit, there is growth that can be had. And it's found in our daily expressions, how we live our lives. And because of this, we have a responsibility to cultivate it. Okay? Because when we first get saved, we are just not instantly born mature adults. In fact, we'll find that the same imagery and really the same practical outwork of an infant to a toddler to an adolescent to a teenager to an adult to a senior citizen, we really follow that same pattern in our new life with Jesus Christ. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 says this, and it will start us out. He says, Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere, what's the word they put up there? Mere infants in Christ. Believers begin their life in Christ much like our physical life. You're going to want to put a pin on that. We start as infants. We start as babes. We start with needing the milk that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, many people equate... let me see if I want to go here. Believers begin their life in Christ much like this. We start as babes with limited understanding and spiritual strength, and we are in need of spiritual development. Galatians 6, 1 Peter 2 talk about that. So often we are told that at salvation we are sealed and we cannot lose our salvation. And that is very true. That is not in question here whatsoever. You are sealed, you have eternal life. Unfortunately, however, many people equate this with that's all that is expected of us. Okay, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm just saying, hey, I prayed the prayer, I did the thing, I placed my intellectual consent in Jesus Christ, and I am now done with my responsibility before the Lord. However, when it comes to spiritual growth, the Bible points out the fact that at any particular time in our life, we are either progressing in our faith or we are regressing in our spiritual development. There is no neutral. There is no standing still. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Spiritual growth. Distinct from salvation. Once that has happened, now we're talking about spiritual growth. So, spiritual growth and the goal. The goal of spiritual growth is obvious. It's to increasingly become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16 speaks to that very clearly. In fact, upon salvation, I found this very interesting and staring me in the face. We are predestined to grow. We are going to grow. It is literally, have you ever said the words, I wish my kids would stop growing? None of you. Is there anything that you can do, apart from breaking the law, to stop your kids from growing up? You know, sometimes Amy will say, I wish our kids could have stayed this age. But there's nothing we can do about it, especially at the rate in which they eat. There is nothing we can do about it. Do you know the same is true in our spiritual lives as well? If you are truly a child of God, we are predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, Romans 8:29. In fact, it says this, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to what? To be conformed into the likeness of His Son. I need you to grab that truth. If you are truly a child of God, if you truly have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, not only sealing you until the day of redemption as a deposit of what is to come, but also pushing and promoting new life in you. If you truly are a child of God, here it is. The Scriptures teach this. Growth will happen. Behold, you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. And just like a physical child will grow, so will every true believer. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have times of sin or I hate this word, but I'll use it because we understand what it means, backsliding in our lives. It doesn't mean there's going to be seasons of where, like David and Bathsheba, where we just fall into something we know we don't belong into. But there will be a repentance, there will be a return. Some grow faster and stronger than others, but at the end of the day, true believers are predestined to be conformed into the image of God. So what is some application? If someone claims the name of Jesus Christ and you see no growth, no increase of the image of Christ in their life, I want to say with humility, but with biblical authority, this is evidence that they may have had a religious experience, but we all know through Scripture that religious experiences do not save a person's soul. Life-transforming faith in Jesus Christ is what saves our soul. So, spiritual growth is brought about by the activity of the Holy Spirit. We know that. And His work in our life. 2 Corinthians 3:18 speaks clearly to that. The Holy Spirit does not indwell us to do nothing. He doesn't reside within us and go, hey, comfy chair, I think we're good until they die. We're good to go. No, we are conformed to be into the image of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, who has perfect loving fellowship with Jesus Christ and God the Father, will draw you to them. He will draw. He will push. He will pull. He will convict. He will chase. He will grieve. He'll do whatever it takes to not only just seal you until the day of redemption, but push you towards growth. You cannot have the Holy Spirit indwell you and have absolutely no desire, habitually, lifelong desire for God. If it's not there ever, I think Scripture is pretty clear on that. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Now, we have heard this from the first day. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to respond. It's not hypothetical in just a moment. We have heard this from the first day of Sunday school, but what does it mean? What does it mean to grow in our spiritual life and cooperate with the Holy Spirit? What does this look like? Well, let me ask you this. What does the activity of the Holy Spirit look like, and how do we cooperate with it? Well, the answer is found in remembering that our spiritual growth is very similar to our physical growth. So how do we cultivate spiritual growth? Well, it's really not all that complicated because it's very similar to physical growth. In fact, here's a question. Let me say this. Like I said earlier, there's a similarity between what it means for natural growth and spiritual growth. So let me rephrase this question. I want you to answer it. How do we promote physical health and growth in our lives? What are some things that you know you need to get often if you're going to have a strong, physical, growing life? Talk to me.
Nutrition.
What's that?
Nutrition.
You're going to have to eat. Yes. And not just eat. All right? Not McDonald's, fast food, supersize it, call it good and on the road, because that's not going to help your health long term. By the way, little snippets of the Word of God on a surface level where you're not growing in your understanding of your God is not going to help you long term. You want the meat of God's Word. Good point. We're going to have to eat. What are some other things we do to make sure that we have good, physical, healthy, growing lives? Talk to me.
Exercise.
Got to have exercise. How many here have had long seasons of no exercise, and then you have to run 25 steps to save your life? Anyone at all? And you're just like, how many have ever run up the stairs, to answer the phone, and you get to the phone, and you have no capacity to talk on the phone? Been there, done that. I do that now from time to time. Exercise. Eating. What are some other things?
Sleep.
Praise Jesus. He created sleep, isn't it? Do you guys remember the age, how the first time, what age you were when the first time you slept into bed and said, this is the best part of my day? You remember that? Where you just slip into that, Adam, you're shaking your head, where you just go, this is the way God intended life to be. This is great. What are some other things? We got rest, we got eating, we got exercise.
Interactions,
yes, relationships, companionship. It's not good for man to be alone. That's very important. Anything else that comes to mind? All right, then we'll do this. Here, I got one that doesn't always rise to the top, but it is very important. Submitting to authority. Submitting to authority is very important to have a healthy life. Even in our physical lives, it's probably a good idea that you obey that stop sign. It's probably a good idea that you obey that yellow and red light. All right? It's probably a good idea that you obey the speed limit. It's probably a good idea that you don't snort or smoke as many drugs as you possibly can and disobey the law. See, the law is there to promote and protect the health of our lives. It all aids in our physical growth. So I'm going to write down, as I'm listening to you, we got eating, we got exercising, we got resting, and I'm going to add, because it's found within the Word of God, and we have it in our lives all the time, submitting to the authority that is in our lives. Because when we don't submit to authority in our lives, that also can have some negative effects. Well, these same principles are needed for spiritual growth. You can see the similarities here. So let's take a look at each one. We'll start with eating. Eating, spiritual life will require us to regularly consume the nourishment of God's Word, the Bible. 1 Peter 2, John chapter 6, Timothy 3, Psalms 1. We could list Scripture until we're out of time this morning. But let me say this clearly. Without consuming the bread and the water and the milk and ultimately the meat of God's Word, spiritual growth is impossible. It is the primary means to grow. You can have rest, you can have exercise, you can have submitting to authority, you can have a whole list of wonderful things, but if you don't eat, how's it going to work out? Okay, one answer, it was Steve, I could barely understand it, but it sounded like this. It's not going to work out very good, right? All right, we have to be consuming God's Word. We must eat. Let me ask you a question. Is there a time in your life every day when you eat normal food? Is there times blocked aside where you go, me must eat? Well, of course the answer is yes. Sometimes we're eating on the run. Sometimes we're cheating and going through McDonald's. Sometimes we're getting a prime rib dinner. But the fact of the matter is we eat every day. Other than Randy Guppy, we eat every day. All right? You had that coming for your Facebook post that I didn't read. Now, let's move forward. Is there a time in your life when you eat every day? Every day. If the answer is yes, you're likely growing. You're at least getting the nourishment to do so. If your answer is no, because there is no neutral, you are likely getting weaker. Amy is a great example of this week. She had oral surgery. And a few days later, she said, I don't know, but I'm so tired. And I'm so weak. Why am I so tired? And I'm so weak. So because I have my theology degree, which is synonymous with a medical degree, I said to her, you haven't eaten any solid food for 6 days, and your body is trying to heal. without nourishment, without calories, we get weaker. Same is true in our spiritual lives. We have to eat. Another one is exercise. How in the world do we exercise spiritually? A healthy spiritual life will require spiritual exercise. What does this look like? I would say very simply, it's called obedience. Doing what God has told you to do, telling me to do. 1 John 2, verse 5. You ever see someone who doesn't exercise, have to move fast? We know what happens. We must exercise to build endurance. We must obey so that when temptation comes, we are spiritually conditioned to run away from it, to flee that which is evil, or to fight it, all right, with the armor of the Lord, which, by the way, most of it is defensive, but we do have a sword, all right? And the Roman word is a small sword, okay? It wasn't the big long one. It was a small sword, and you had to be talented at it. You had to be skilled at it. I love the word that is in the imagery of the armor of the Lord. You know, it wasn't the long one, it was the short one. And if you're going to go into battle in close range, you're going to have to know God's word really well. You're going to have to be skilled with it. But we have to exercise. We have to obey God's word. So we've got to be reading it, consuming it, and we have to be obeying it. Another one is rest. A healthy life requires rest. Spiritually, I would call this trust. To trust in God. Come to me, all you are heavy laden. Galatians chapter 2, chapter 5, Romans chapter 1. It's understanding that everything is not under your control. In fact, I would amend that. None of it is under our control. Control is an illusion. We must rest in the fact that you can trust your God, or you're going to stress yourself out to the point of malnutrition and exhaustion. We have to rest and trust in God. Here's another one, and I brought it up, submitting to authority. To stay physically healthy, you must submit to the authorities around you, or it's going to catch up. For the sake of the community as well, we found that in Philippians chapter 2, together with one another, shining like the stars in the heavens. To stay spiritually healthy, one must submit to God's authority. There it is, because what good would it be to consume the Word of God and then not gain from it? Not only God's authority, but the authority that God has placed over us in our lives. For me, that is the elders of this church, and by extension, you as well. All right? I have to and I must submit myself to their authority, because here's what it is. At the end of the day, authority provides accountability. Authority provides accountability, and we all need that. So how do we grow spiritually in the Lord? We must eat His Word often. We must exercise through obedience. We must trust and rest in His unchanging plan and submit ourselves to the authority that He has placed in our lives. And when we faithfully apply these things for growth, we experience, here it is, spiritual development, which brings us all the way around the horn back to the very place where we began to grow spiritually. It is God's desire that we keep on growing throughout our lifetime. And since our goal is to be like Christ, it's important to understand that it is an infinite goal. I don't say that to be negative. There will never be a point in time in your life when you are as holy and righteous and pure as Christ. Can we agree on that one? But that's our goal. We will never obtain absolute maturity this side of the world. But here's an important distinction. We can be relatively mature and experience long periods of spiritual health. Because of our exercising and resting and eating and obeying, protecting us and our family from the harmful effects of sin and consequences. It's important to understand this, because our sins or our lack of growth is not done in a vacuum. Remember when we walk through Philippians, it's all intertwined as a corporate body of Christ. When we choose, when we have membership meetings, we talk about the weaker brother. And we talk about how we have a responsibility to the weaker brother. And church, wouldn't you agree we have a responsibility to the weaker brother not to purposely offend them? Would you agree with that? But the weaker brother has a responsibility as well. What is the responsibility of the weaker brother? Talk to me. To stop being the weaker brother. To grow. All right? When we choose to not grow through a lack of all the things that we talked about, when we choose to become a professional weaker brother, when we choose choose not to have spiritual development. Not only should we re-examine our salvation in that present tense that we talked about this morning and examine our lives and whether we're being transformed or not, but it's important to understand that we don't do this in an island. We don't do this in a vacuum. Our selfish sin choices or our lack of growth sends ripples and sometimes tidal waves that affect the innocent around us. The best thing you can do for your church family, not just you, because Christianity is bigger than you. It's bigger than me. The best thing we can do for one another individually is grow. To grow. Never would we ever entertain the idea of not putting food on the table or finding time for rest. We just wouldn't do that. That's not an option. Hey, what are you doing today? Well, I know what I'm not doing. I'm too busy to eat. All right, we wouldn't entertain that. Let's not entertain that idea in our spiritual lives as well. This is the kind of flyover on spiritual growth. We just kind of did a little flyover on it. Next week, we're going to get a bit more specific and look at the maintenance plan for our Christian life. This will give us not just the what or the why we do things, like we kind of touched on tonight, but we'll move into the how. We'll move into the how. How to study God's Word. How to interpret the Bible in our personal study. And the fruit that we ought to see from it when we do apply these things to our lives. Spiritual growth looks a lot like physical growth. It should be expected, but it must be refined and worked on. Gracious Heavenly Father, may we be a church, a body of believers that individually, for corporate reasons, but individually, Lord, that we would eat, exercise, rest, and obey, so that we might grow in your image. Father, we pray that there would be long periods of times in our lives, not only in our lives, but in our church, that we would live holy and acceptable lives before you. And when we fail, because of the residing of the Holy Spirit, may we hate our sin and reconcile with you. We pray this and we ask this in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.